Valley with Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to the final episode of this season of Absolute Rally. I can always do it with a wry smile because we know Jack Bennion's there straight away before we go any further because Jack got wind again. I'm going to do my any other business now, or certainly one of them. I don't care because it's the final episode. Congratulations to friend of the show, Craig Breen. 2-year deal with Citroën, him and Scott. I am so, so pleased. I'm so, so happy. And we're hoping we're going to catch up with them, certainly for the first episode back after our little 2-week break. But anyway, Jack Bennion, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Ryan Champion.
Yes.
You want me to say hello as well?
Of course I do. Hello. Why hello. Wouldn't I? Well,
I don't know. You just said Ryan Champion. I didn't know what you wanted.
It's the top of the show, isn't it? Come on, right? Get with the program.
Hello, everybody.
Do you know what, right? Do you want to tell you what this is? This is because you've become a little bit of a TV celebrity recently.
Is that right? I'm not in Jack Bennion's league.
Yeah, I know you're not in Jack Bennion's league, but I'll be honest with you, you're not a million miles away. Little vignettes being made about you driving this Lancer Wheel car. It started off at Rally Day and it finished off on the track rod. And oh yeah, we all sat there and we watched the video at home last night. We put it on the big screen and everything. So are you getting precious now? You're famous again.
Hey, don't feel bad. You've won BBC 4 this year, so
I've won BBC 4, but unfortunately it was taken off the air. That's the problem with it.
And moving on swiftly.
Yeah. So there you go. Anyway, listen, as ever at the top of the programme, there's quite a lot going on, I'm guessing, Jack, in F1, because we're on page 14 for our first major rally story this week.
Yeah, we've got a British Touring Car Championship finale at Brands Hatch, and also obviously the Formula One was quite exciting over the weekend, so Valium has been pushed back slightly.
So, again, it's news that's been floating around, and we've already wished Craig congratulations at the very, very top of the programme. He's going to be, obviously, Chris's teammate, along with LeBerf as well for next year, and there's also possibly going to be a fourth car as well for Al-Qassimi. Meek and Breen both confirmed for Rally GB.
Yeah, that's obviously a story we got out from last week. Obviously, MN gets put together on Monday, so some of the releases that are coming out today are a bit ahead for us, so it's a bit difficult for us to operate. But in terms of GB, we've got Craig and Chris both confirmed, so great to see them sort of almost on home soil, if you like. And thanks to Shakerly Al-Qassimi, who's given up his car. He's doing something else over that weekend, so he was originally down to the event, but he's given up his car, and that means Craig and Chris can both do it.
Right, I think it's Chris certainly, and we're going to talk about Corsica a little bit later on, but Chris certainly, you know, he seemed to come into his own once he got settled. It's fair to say Craig's been very, very kind of comfortable and very settled all year, even though it's been a limited programme, but surely that confidence of having that piece of paper in his back pocket will only prove to kind of push him on and probably push him on a little bit on GB as well.
Yeah, I think it'll certainly allow him to concentrate on the job in hand, won't it? We talked to Chris about it earlier this year, and he said, you know, how much of a weight he felt he had lifted off his shoulders when he had that piece of paper, and he could just concentrate on his job. And like you said, Craig's done a great job of that this year. He hasn't had a number of opportunities to do that. You know, he did only have a limited programme, but he's got results out of the rallies he's done, so he's already been doing a great job. But now he can, you know, probably afford to push a little bit more and really show what he can do. So, I mean, it's just brilliant news. You know, great news for Scott Martin as well. And, you know, I tweeted it earlier. Thank you very much, Yves Mattel, because, you know, for British and Irish rallying, he's been a good guy over the last couple of years. And it's great to see some of our favourite drivers getting the chance that they deserve.
What's quite ironic, of course, in all this, Jack, if we bring you in here, is that obviously now there's always been that kind of, I think, that close neighbour thing, that thing between France and England, where there's always been that close neighbour thing that always happens. But now we're going to, probably there's going to be a whole bunch of, certainly most of the rally community here in the UK are going to be, and Ireland obviously, are going to be supporting a French team.
Yeah, it's going to be relatively odd in a way, isn't it? But, you know, it's whether you're back drivers or teams, isn't it? And, you know, most people are rallying back drivers, so, you know, you're going to have to bite the bullet and just support Citroën if you want to support your drivers, aren't you? But, yeah, great to see. But just picking up on what Ryan said there, you know, it's brilliant all this that's going on. I'm really happy for Greg and Scott that, you know, they really deserve the opportunity. But at the same time, a little bit nervous about what's going to happen with Elvin, because I think he deserves a seat just as much as Greg. And it'd be really sad if he doesn't get on the calendar next year as well.
Well, I was just going to come to that, because things seem to be now starting to find their way a little bit. You know, Thierry Neuville has been confirmed, I believe, with a 2-year deal today at Hyundai. Toyota still isn't official, but I suppose Hannanen's been there forever and a day. Lappi is more or less confirmed, though there's always still that question mark against both those names whenever these lineups are kind of put into print. But I guess the concern and the question mark is, I'll tell you where the big question mark is for me at the moment, not just Elvin, but it's the whole kind of M Sport setup, guys, to be honest. I'll come to you first, Ry. Mads Osberg isn't listed as a possible candidate for a seat there. There's still a question mark against Ed Kamali. Can you make kind of rhyme or reason of what's going on there?
No. it's a juggling act, isn't it, for M Sport? It's different for them not being in the position of a full manufacturer team. You know, they have to look at budgets ultimately. Whether that's we still don't really know the full situation with Camilli in terms of funding, but they're certainly not in a position where they can pay drivers millions of pounds. And every penny that's spent has to go towards the cars. So they are in a different position, and obviously we've talked about it before. We would love to see Ford coming back, but until that happens, or until they get another manufacturer backing, then they've got to play a little bit canny in the drivers that they've got. I don't think we'll see Mats Osberg in the team next year. I think we will see Eric Camilli in the team next year, and I think unfortunately, that's harsh, but I think it may be an Estonian driver in the second car, and you know, hopefully then Elvin maybe moves into a DMAC car, but you know, that is just speculation, but that's probably the way I see it shaking out there.
Jack, I think this was something I picked up on last week, and we kind of touched upon it with regards to the meeting, the World Motorsport Council and the FIA and things like that, with regards to how the championship is going to work out next year. There is going to be a privateers, an inverted commas, cup or some sort for the current spec WR cars. Can we see perhaps some of our heroes happen to almost, you know, and I'm including Elvin in this really, maybe in a current, you know, 2016 car in the 2017 calendar?
I think I don't know any more than you about that, Tony, but I think, you know, it's a very real possibility, isn't it, that we could see that happening. And it, you know, like I said, I've got nothing further to add really about Elvin, other than that, you know, it's my belief that he should be in the 2017 car next year and should be driving for a works team. But it's good that there are options there for the guys to stay sharp and go and do this production type sort of private championship if that does exist next year.
Yeah, just to come in there, I think if we do, you know, if we see a DMAC team again next year, I'm sure that will be with a 2017 car, won't it?
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you?
I would be very, very surprised if it wasn't. I'd be very surprised if it wasn't. But I'm just thinking, where do we see, where do we see Mads? Where does he end up? Because, you know, he's still keen to compete. He's still relatively a young man. Where do we see him turning up now? Obviously, Adapter have got their thing going on, and Adapter going to take on a 2016 car and run it in the 2017 calendar, perhaps? I don't know.
I think some of the privateer teams will be reluctant to commit to that championship until they know that other people are doing it, because there's not really any point in funding a 2016 car program, is there, for next year? If you're going to be rallying against yourself, it seems like there needs to be some uptake there from and a declare of interest from some of the guys who potentially will be doing it.
Hey, some people could say you could go and win BBC4 if you did that, so there you go. Anyway, moving on, and again, another friend of the show, we always try and get Chris on, and Chris will be coming on our first week back, but we mentioned Chris in last week's podcast, and Jack, and you said he seemed quite upbeat and relatively in good spirits. Obviously announced that he will be doing Wales Rally GB. It will be in it won't be an Opel Adam this time. It will be in a Vauxhall Adam, because it will be run by the team that's ran the Vauxhall Adams in the British Rally Championship this year, and he's bringing an iconic sponsor back.
That's right, yeah. Well, I can bring you a bit of exclusive news on that, if you like. I did find out something the other day that was quite interesting, because there was questions about an homologation for the Vauxhall at the start of the year, even though they were just kind of changing the logos and all that sort of stuff. It was, it was a bit sort of, they weren't really sure whether it was homologated and all that sort of stuff, but I've been told now that the Vauxhall is homologated, so it will compete in the international section of the rally, and Chris and Rob Duggan will be taking part. Rob Duggan, this year's junior champion in the BRC, and 5 wins out of 7, not a bad year for him at all, and they'll both be running on DMAT tyres and backed by Network Q, so good to see Chris getting a chance to do GB again, and he's pretty much been a front runner whenever he's done it. Last year he struggled a little bit to get to grips with the DF3 that he ran in, but no reason why he's got a lot of experience with that car, and no reason why he shouldn't be sort of at least a mob pace, or obviously it depends on what other R2s are there and if there's any other opals, but it'd be interesting to see who he sort of benchmarks himself against.
Absolutely. As I say, it's interesting, and I'm glad that Chris was coming out, because he put out this little Facebook video with him and Kev Ferber, I think, talking in his office, and there was some teasers in there. I did some guessing of the cars, and I was miles out, as it turned out. And Chris rang me the other day, and we had a really, really good chat, and we were talking tyres and things like that. And as I say, he's going to be coming on our first week back, leading up, to Wales Rally GB. We've got lots of previews and lots of different guests coming back for those couple of episodes that are leading up to GB. I can't wait, although it feels very odd not to be getting ready to do the rally, but still, there you go. Anyway, we've got to that point, Jack, unfortunately, in the programme.
Okay.
It's an awkward moment for me, this one. I've got to page 18. I've got to page 18.
Ah, right, okay. Page 18, yeah.
Yeah,
an interesting one.
Yeah, I know. So
it was painful. It was painful to put together, I tell you that.
Let me read out the headline, Jack, and talk me through it. Champion eyes more Mitsubishi magic.
So this is a story about a little-known man from Yorkshire called Ryan Champion, who competed on the track rod rally last weekend and did very well, if I might say so myself. I thought. I guess we should ask him himself, but he's eyeing a little trip to Barbados next year with the car, and obviously happy in general with how it went. I think, Ryan, you probably felt like you could probably, with a bit of testing and a bit more seat time in the car, you probably could have troubled the top two in the event. But I thought it was a really good weekend, and good to see if you can get to Barbados.
Am I allowed to come in now, Tony?
Go on. It's all about you, isn't it? Go on, mate.
Great weekend. Thoroughly enjoyed the car. I mean, I have to say the car was a real hoot to drive. It's certainly not as effective as the modern Fiestas in the way it covers the ground. It just doesn't have the suspension travel. But at the same time, that probably makes it more fun to drive, because you have to work at it a bit more. A lot of fun to drive the car. It took me a little bit of time to get back up to speed. Sort of a year since I'd done a rally and 5 years since I've been in the Forest in a four-wheel drive car. So it's fair to say I wasn't on it at the beginning. And we had a slight booster problem with it over the first two. But once we got that sorted, we were on the pace of the Fiestas. And as I said, thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think certainly a bit more speed to come from both me and the car with a bit more work. Honestly, whether we'll do anything else with it, I don't know at the minute. But it would definitely be nice to.
I guess, and again, all right, we had a little bit of fun there at the top, but, not everybody gets to drive a world car, whether it's a world current spec world car or a world car of 10 years ago. And obviously you've got the Group A beastie, which you wheel out for Goodwood and things like that. But just how much is it, because I've never drove a world car. I've drove a Super 2 car and things like that, but I've never drove a world car. And, for the casual fan and people listening and stuff like that, just what is it like to get into a wheel car and just physically just launch it off the start line of a stage? What happens? Is it like a war's broke out, or is it relatively calm in there?
It's a little bit of both, because you've got a huge amount of torque, so the response coming out of corners is fantastic, and it really does get up the road. But at the same time, the newer and more developed the car, then to a degree, the easier it is to drive. I mean, if you compare the 04 Mitsubishi to my 96 Subaru, there's no comparison. Like my Subaru on a H pattern is a very mechanical car, very physical car to drive. You really have to manhandle it, whereas the Lancia can certainly drive smoother. You know, you still work it a little bit to get it to turn in, but it's certainly a very, very capable car. But then as you go through the years to the last of the fully active 2 litre cars, they were maybe the pinnacle of the WRC car in terms of how easy they were to drive, you know, very, very straight lines and even a slight bit of understeer. We then went back through the 1600 cars that were slightly more mechanical again. So, you know, World Rally cars have really evolved during the years. And I would genuinely say that any works developed car is to a degree easy to drive because that's what we've designed to do. They're just not easy to get the best out of. But I think the big thing we've seen in the last sort of 10 years since the Mitsubishi suspension development, and you just see the way the current cars, the travel they have, the droop they have, the way they take the bumps, and that's where a lot of the speed comes from. But actually, in terms of straight line performance, the Mitsubishi would still be right there.
There you go. Suspension, Jack, is the answer to everything. Suspension is the answer to everything. But anyway, listen, we haven't even got to Corsica yet. Jack, Ogier step closer WRC title with Corsica victory.
Yeah, it's looking good for the man, isn't it? And well, it's looked good for him since 3 years ago, hasn't it, really? But it's difficult to make it sound any more interesting than what it is. I think he's pretty certain to probably wrap it up in Spain, and if not, on GB. But good weekend from OJ, really. Really sensible drive. Pulled the pace out when he needed to on Friday, and then as soon as Saturday came, he reined it in and kept the car safe, kept everyone at arm's length, and didn't really look troubled. Whenever he needed to put a good stage time in, he did. Whenever he needed to be conservative, he was. And another display of how he's the best driver in the WRC. I don't think there's anyone who can argue that.
Absolutely. I think it's fair to say that Friday ride was just a dominance, wasn't it?
We're familiar with Ogier dominance on tarmac, aren't we? And obviously, as we've said before, you know, the gravel rallies, he feels he's been held back. He feels he's been penalised. So the tarmac rallies are where he wants to prove his point again. Chris did a fabulous job early on. Whether Ogier had anything in reserve or not, we don't really know, do we? But you know, keep looking forward to next year. But it will be great to see, you know, Ogier with hopefully some real difficult competition. But he does just seem to have that bit in reserve, and he's really very, very clever at driving just fast enough.
As I say, I was fortunate enough, I missed some of the live stage on the excellent WRC Plus, but I did catch up with some bits and pieces last night. And I tell you what made me giggle a little bit was the Citroën race after Chris had the puncture. Did you boys see that?
I did, yes, yeah. The two cars chasing through the stage, yeah.
How close, by the way, was Chris parked in the arrival control to Craig? I think there was a cigarette paper between those two bumpers. I don't know if there was a little bit of tension there in that arrival control. I'm really not sure. I'm not going to speculate on it. I'll stay away from that. But I think the other thing, obviously, Chris was very, very focused on stage times, and wow, did he put some times in, Jack?
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant set of times, wasn't it, from Chris? Unfortunately, he couldn't put the whole event together, and the crash seemed to be a small thing, but I don't know, really. Maybe there is positives to take out of the crash, I guess. It might just encourage him to be a bit sharper on the wreckies and stuff ready for next year, because, you know, we are going to be going a lot quicker next year, and you can't really afford to have mistakes in writing your pace notes when we're going to be driving quicker than what we're going this year. But he certainly showed the speed on stages, didn't he? And it was a mesmerising performance on the first stage on Sunday. It was probably one of the best stage times on tarmac I think I've ever watched, because he was just that far ahead of everybody else. It was fantastic.
Right. I guess when you're driving purely for times, you're not trying to get a result. Does that change the mindset of a driver at that level?
To a degree. I guess the thing is on World Championship rallies now, with when you haven't got service at the end of every stage and you're treating stages as a loop, particularly if it's the last day of the rally, then you know, if you're lying in the top three, then you're going to think about all those things, and you're going to want to be bringing the car home, you're going to want to look after your tyres, you're going to want to look after the car, whereas if you're just going out to set a time, you're less concerned about those things. But that doesn't equate to 30 seconds difference. So, you know, it was still an incredible time, particularly when you look at the other drivers. We're all very close in terms of the stage times, other than Chris, who was, 35 seconds down the road. So an amazing stage time, which wasn't mentioned in the TV coverage that I saw, which I thought was a bit odd, but there we are.
No, not a lot. Listen, before we go any further, Jack Bennion is unfortunately...
Hello?
Ah, there he is. I thought you'd left us already, Jack.
I'm gonna
let you do your any other business now.
Oh, are you really?
Yes.
My any other business is probably what I've done already, but it's a rallying call for someone to please take on Elvin Evans next year, because I really want to see if he can cut it in a 2017 car. And one of the reasons for bringing this up now was I was watching with great interest Timo Sunderland's times over the Corsica weekend, and I think he finished the rally around 7.5 minutes down on Elvin in a Skoda Fabia, and that's unfair to point that out from Timo's point of view, because that was his first visit to Corsica, and he's not an asphalt driver, not someone experienced on surface, and actually I thought he did a good job to bring the car home over the weekend. But if you're a WRC team and you're looking to get the best out of your cars, then it's a complete rookie on asphalt someone you go with, because Sunderland, someone who's been banded around a lot for Toyota and even rumoured for some of the other teams like Citroen as well, and obviously that's not going to happen now, but there's no reason why he may not end up in a Toyota car. And I think Sunderland's got the talent to be a WRC driver, but if you're taking a driver next year on pace and on their ability, I think it's got to be Elvin, and I just really hope that someone takes a punt on him, because I think if it's good enough to be in a WRC seat, then I think Elvin is as well.
Absolutely. I couldn't put it any better myself. Credit to Craig as well. Obviously, we've already congratulated him, but fifth on his I think it was his first event on tarmac with the Citroën.
His first World Rally Championship event in a World Rally car.
Yeah. A fantastic result. A couple of things. Again, congratulations to just to follow on from what you've been saying. Of course, Elvin comfortably winning WRC2, and obviously no more events now for him in WRC2. That's all his events done. Him and Craig Parry have got to sit back and just see what happens elsewhere to see whether they can secure that title as well. And Tepestini won the final JWRC as we know it. Of course, we alluded to how the championship possibly could change on last week's podcast. Anyway, if you want to refer back to that, by all means, download that one.
He didn't win the class, Tony, but he won the championship.
Ah, okay, right. Sorry, thanks for putting me straight there, Jack.
Laurent Pellier, a JWRC rookie, I think, won the class, which was very impressive considering he's a gravel driver.
Yeah, fair play, first time. I assume it could be first time on Corsica anyway, but still, there you go. Have you got time for our any other business, Jack, or do we need to lose you?
I'm going to shoot off, but thanks very much, guys, and I'll hopefully catch up with you next week.
And there you go, and that's Jack Bennion. And we're away for 2 weeks now, Jack, but enjoy your 2 weeks off, and we'll speak to you soon.
Spot on, see you then, thanks, guys.
This is Absolute Rally. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks. Accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Of course, we've got to let Jack go and do some important things and everything else, but we didn't get to our any other business. Now, Ryan Champion, before we go any further, have you got a very important any other business?
Well, I've got some interesting any other business, I think.
Okay, do you want to go first or second?
Well, I'll go first if you want.
You go first,
be the big finale. Great to get a chance to drive the Lancer last weekend. An interesting car, you know, it's quite a rare car, the Mitsubishi WRC. We don't see many of them anymore, and SVP looking to hire that car out now. So hopefully it'll be interesting to see that a little bit more. But it led me to think a little bit about, rare rally cars, rare 2-litre WRCs. What's your favourite 2-litre WRC car, Tony? What would you say?
Do you know what? I do have a thing. There's two that scream out at me. One is the Escort.
Yeah.
And the other one's the Corolla.
Corolla was a pretty cool car, but there were some interesting 2 litre WRC cars. And like I said, you know, I was involved with the Lancer a little bit in period, and great to see it back out. It makes a distinctive noise. But one rally where we'll see all sorts of interesting World Rally cars, Group B cars, Group A cars is Rally Legend this weekend. So Rally Legend in San Marino. It's been growing and growing, and every year it gets a whole host of stars. Hayden Padden been there with the Hyundai, Gronholm's there this weekend with the Polo, Kankinen, Panizzi, Schwartz, all with you know, their period cars. An incredible event that seems to be growing and growing in popularity. And this weekend it sees Alistair McRae going to Rally Legend for the first time, and excitingly driving one of Collins Pro Drive Group A Legacies. So you know, that'll be fantastic to see Alistair out on that, co-driven by a friend of Absolute Rally, Stu Loudon. So we hope at some point to get Stu on talking about that as well. And you know, it does just seem to be like I said, an incredible event where these cars are actually really driven in anger, and thousands of passionate Italian fans shouting them on from the sidelines.
Yeah, a friend of mine's just arrived over there. He's took, I think he either took his Mini or possibly one of his Porsches over. I've still yet to see any pictures yet. He just did one of those checking things. Adrian Kermode, who's a very, very rapid man in a Mini, normally Manxman, who kind of splits his time now between the UK and the Alaman, but he's doing a lot of this kind of demo stuff now. I suppose not too dissimilar, right, to what you've done with the Subaru and stuff. He's doing lots of these types of events now, and he's got a little workshop he's doing restorations on. He's got one of the original works, Golf GTIs and things like that, and that's kind of how he goes rallying now. It's his thing, and it seems to be gathering pace. He keeps on kind of nudging me to perhaps buy something and go and do those types of events.
The interesting thing about it, just picking up on that, because before I ever did anything like this, you know, the Goodwoods of this world, I thought, well, what's the point? But the nice thing is, you spend a weekend in the car, you still have good fun driving the car, but there isn't the pressure on it, and you enjoy what's around you much more. You know, you don't get sucked into the whole rally and the result and getting to the end of it. You just actually enjoy the experience. So I wouldn't say it's a replacement for competing, but there's certainly something to be said for some of these events. You know, they really have a fantastic atmosphere around them, and you sort of get to enjoy that a little bit when you're still driving.
Yeah, as I say, you never know. I still don't know what I'm doing yet. I still don't know what I'm doing yet, whether the old ST will be retired off somewhere or what. Whether it's time to hang up the helmet.
Well, like I said, just to come back on that, but as I said, there isn't anything that's a substitute for competition, as I found out last weekend. And now I just want to go rallying again, but there we are.
Have you got, is it bit again, is it, mate?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Dear.
The first stage we did in that car running properly, it was fantastic, and both myself and Alan Harriman were giggling through the stage at points, and it did remind me why I do it.
Yeah, there you go. A couple of things, we've jumped around on subjects and stuff. I know today it's been a bit of a mad podcast to start with, but hopefully it will kind of level out towards the end. But we were trying to grab people at different times and things like that, and we could only have Jack for a very short period of time, and as ever we always thank Jack for supplying us the headlines and things like that. But just as I say, just Corsica, I just want to just dip back into it. I watched it last night, right? 10 stages, and I've been over to the island, and you know, they call it the 10,000 corners and stuff like that. And I've drove around the island. I've drove quite a few of the stages as well, not competitively, but I was working over there on an event, and just none of it I can recall. I just think, Jesus, you look at the amount of pages that are for the pace notes and things like that, and you just wonder how co-drivers don't lose the voice.
It's definitely a demanding rally, and as you said, a lot of the corners look very similar. It's corner into corner into corner. There's very few straights. There's lots of you know, different surfaces, gravel in places as well. It is a difficult rally. It always has been. You know, and nice to see some of the longer stages in there, given the challenge and allowing odd, you know, strange abnormalities in stage times that we saw with Chris Meek taking that big chunk at the end, just proving, all right, he might have been on a different strategy, he might have been going for something different, but it proves it can still happen. You know, we used to every stage being won by half a second here or half a second there, and nice to see things shaken up a little bit, and I think Corsica is a real classic challenge. How long we'll see Corsica in the calendar for with the way the calendar is at the minute, who knows?
Well,
you know, there was a move away from islands that we wanted to go to the mainland, and we tried that, and we've gone back to Corsica again. So, yeah.
Well, only half the calendar for next year is being confirmed so far, and I'm sure as the next few weeks start to click by, we'll start to get a few more events confirmed. But I've got a tiny any other business, and I've got a kind of a major any other business. So I'm going to do my tiny any other business first, because you may be able to relate to this a little bit. I've just read an article about a college over here in the UK, which is Myerscroft College, and they're quite heavily involved in motorsport. I did a few lectures there a few years back on the motorsport degree there. And but there's an article that they've brought out now. The Motorsport News Circuit Racing Championship, which obviously is gathering a fair amount of pace over here in the UK at the moment. It's a very easy way for people to go rallying. You know, we're talking about what Ryan's just been talking about there. It's a nice way to go rallying. You can bring sponsors and friends and stuff like that. And I suppose it's like circuit racing, but it's rallying. That's the easiest way for me to kind of put it across, and I'll probably get lynched by somebody for saying that.
I know, but I get where you're coming from with that one. Yeah,
you know, from that point of view, it's easier than traipsing, you know, having people traipsing all over forests or even all over islands, wherever it may be. But anyway, I digress. But one of the cars that Myerscroft are running is an ex Mark Fisher Seat Super 6 car. Now, for those of you probably who don't remember this, or certainly weren't in the UK at the time, Seat went very, very heavy into rallying, you know, obviously the F2 program and things like that, which latterly became, excuse me, a WRC program for a very short period of time with the Cordoba. But the Super 6 was six cars in a championship, and basically, if right, I'm sure will put me straight on this, the winner effectively got, was it a works entry?
The winner, who was Mike Brown, if I remember rightly, got a Formula 2 Ibiza for the British Championship the following year. So yeah, it was back, you know, we often talk about one mate championships and the prizes on offer, and Mike got the year in the British Championship in a full works Ibiza kit car.
Wow, it's probably that would have been teammate to Gwyndaf, wouldn't it? That would have been
that year. And I even think maybe Tony Gardemeister was in the team at that sort of era. You know, that was certainly at the height of the Formula 2 days, and Mark was in there, and I think, had Mark Perrott in there, and Wayne Sissons maybe. There was a few, I'm trying to think who else was.
Barbara
was in the works team at the time. So,
okay.
So she'd done the British Championship in the works car. I think maybe Stevie Whitford was he maybe in one of the cars. I can't remember now, but it was certainly a competitive championship. It was fully backed by Seat. You know, the cars I think were even sort of maybe in return by Seat, and something that. Certainly, I was quite friendly with Mark at the time, and you know, Mark took it very, very seriously. You know, really put a lot of effort into winning that championship, but just got pipped by Mike Brown in the end.
Of course, Mark Fisher, very sadly, no longer with us, and very, very sad, very talented young man. But as I say, there you go. It's just a little article that I spotted. Anyway, my final any other business. I don't know what I've set myself up for, right? To be honest with you. Now we're doing something very good this weekend. Yeah, I know. We're doing something very good this weekend. And again, I don't know. Do you know Tim Harding at all? Have you encountered Tim on Wales Rally GB?
Only in passing.
Okay, Tim's one of the organisers of Wales Rally GB. You know, he works in the service park and stuff, and I've worked with him, you know, both as a competitor and also when we've worked with clients and stuff on event and things like that. And really, really lovely guy. Unfortunately, he lost his wife a few months ago to cancer. Horrendous, two teenage boys. He's a massive rally fan, as the family are and everything else. Tim has never competitively done a rally, and you know, a man's name who's come up a few times already over the last few episodes, but someone who's helped me for a long, long time, John Goff, of course, is Rally Me. He decided that he wanted to raise some money for cancer research, and you know, for Tim, and he decided he was going to pay for everything, put Tim in the car on a little single venue, and basically put, you know, kind of sell off, you know, if you wanted to be one of Tim's mechanics, you pay £50 and you could put a bit into the car anyway. Long story short, unfortunately, my other half, Heather, she lost her dad around the same time to a horrible, horrible disease. And she's been very patient with my rally career over the years, it has to be said. And we've had her in the car on a few tests. Anyway, I thought it would be a good idea if she goes over on the event. So without her knowing, I actually kind of entered her as in the rally and sorted out a navigational license without really telling her. And that is this weekend. It's at the Three Sisters go-kart track, which is a little single venue up in the northwest of England, just Wigan. And Jack's wrote a really nice article about it, in fairness to him as well. And we're going to be raising money for cancer research, and everybody there is effectively paying to be there to raise money for the charity and everything else. And yeah, Tim's never done a rally before. Heather, my other half, has never done a rally before. So what could possibly go wrong?
Have you told Heather yet that she's...
yeah, she knows now. I'll be honest with you. We've been trying to workshop co-driving. It hasn't gone well. It hasn't gone well. We're going to have another go tonight. But because she's so used to going to the rallies that we do, she's kind of used to pace notes and, you know, road sections and stuff like that. So single venue stuff is a very, very straightforward and very, very basic. She's, you know, she's asking me a question. Well, what do I say to him? Well, say whatever you want.
Right, left, right.
Just keep him.
Split
keep
junctions.
Him right.
All you need to tell her about is split junctions.
Split junctions.
Split junctions and merges.
I know. Well, I've said that, and to be fair, Three Sisters has really only got splits on it. There's not many merges on there. I can't remember. It's a long time since I've done it, but so I'm going to be there supporting the team, and they're hopefully going to be raising some money and everything else. But yeah, if she gets the taste for it, then my impending retirement could be a lot sooner than what I was planning, mate, to be perfectly honest with you. But there you go. Anyway, that was my any other business, and I think we're done for this week, right? We're going to have 2 weeks off now. Have you got anything planned?
Well, nothing. You make it sound like we're going on holiday for 2 weeks.
I know.
Just the usual visits up and down the country, doing various events for manufacturers over the next couple of weeks. I guess it'll be coming towards winter then when we reconvene.
We will be, and we'll only be a week or so away from GB, and that's what we're going to be getting ready for. But anyway, same time, same place in 2 weeks' time, Ryan Champion.
And we'll speak to you then.
I will look forward to it. And folks, sit back, relax. We're going to have Simon Mooney from Pace Notes magazine, along with Zab McCartan as well, of course, who writes for them every now and again. We're talking about the magazine. We're talking about Simon's co-drive. And we're also talking about how not to go co-driving on the Rally Isle of Man or the Manx Rally, and how not to throw up on a rally as well. Sounds a bit weird. Sit back, relax, enjoy it. It's a lot better than what it sounds, trust me. And as I say, and then we're going to finish off in the final section. We're going to have Brynmore Pearce, who's going to be telling us all about the Rally Forum, which is going to be leading up to Wales Rally GB in Chester. And of course, Rally GB is going back to Chester. So yeah, enjoy the rest of the podcast, and we'll speak to you at the end.
This is the Absolute Rally Podcast. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks. Accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is Absolute Rally.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally, and welcome back to, I'd call him a long time listener, but he's openly admitted he only dips in and out of the programme, but he does get in contact. So, and it's the first time we've managed to get him on the show as well. Simon Mooney of Pace Notes, welcome to Absolute Rally for the first time.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be on. Yeah, great.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. There was a bit of a thing started. Obviously, we have JB at the top of the programme, and we've had the guys over, Peter Whitten over at Rally Sport over, who kind of does the Asia-Pacific type area. But Pace Notes is a magazine that certainly I've been lucky enough to not only be in, but I've also wrote a little cheeky feature for you once or twice as well. And I thought it'd be quite good to get you on, because things have cracked on quite nicely, haven't they, quite recently for the magazine?
They have. I mean, look, it's a long time. I think it was 2003 when we started. And like anything, any media business, Tony, you have to keep evolving. And particularly recently there, we just made an announcement that we're sort of extending our reach, if you like, throughout the UK. I mean, we launched, believe it or not, the UK back in 2007. I think a lot of people still think of us as a wee Irish magazine, you know, but we're not. We've been in the UK featured in every UK championship and clubman events since 2007, you know, but then, you know, we're not a hay market, and we have a small budget and things like that, so we've been slowly creeping our circulation and distribution network as well. So I think it was a few weeks ago there, we announced as well that we've managed to get into another 300 filling stations throughout the UK, deal with your garages. So, all good. You have to keep trying and keep evolving all the time. That's what it's about, you know.
I grew up, obviously, you know, we have MN and things like that, and I kind of grew up with rally sport. And is that where the inspiration originally came from?
It was. I mean, look, we've all grown up with those publications, or I suppose rally sport in the later years, and Rally XS, if you remember that one. That,
yeah, I've still got all the copies in my mum's, sadly enough.
I do as well. Yeah. I, believe it or not, I still do as well. But what the one thing, obviously, when I started co-driving, I mean, I've been a co-driver for you know, since I was 18, but I think, like many young clubmen, you know, even in our local papers and our local magazines and everything else, unless you were the top three or four drivers, you didn't get a look in. And that's really what spurned the idea. I just thought, listen, if I can get a publication out there and get a wee bit of publicity for me, get a wee bit of publicity for my sponsors, that'll maybe help me and all the rest. So that's the same ethos today. I mean, if you win your class on an event, on a championship event, anywhere across Britain and Ireland, you're guaranteed a photograph and a wee write-up and paste notes. And to this day, that's still our unique selling point, I suppose. You know what I mean? Look, the internet and social media and everything has changed the reporting side of things, but we have tried to keep the reports there, keep the photographs there that the club men love, that their sponsors love, that, you know, it all helps. It helps the event sponsors as well, helps the championship sponsors. This is all what it's about, you know, it's all one big business. But also as well, we've sort of evolved now and try to go a bit more features, Tony, you know, and that's really, you know, give our readers there, you know, a wee bit more than just report, because we all know who's run the report on Sunday night, you know what I mean, who's run a rally on a Sunday night, so it's important to get a wee bit more info in the background and then nice other wee features as well, and that's what we're all about, you know.
It sounds like I've kind of hit the nail on the head, because funny enough, I don't know whether you might have heard of him, one of my co-hosts, Ryan Champion, who can drive a little bit. Yeah, well, he was out in a Lancer WRC at the weekend, obviously, and he came to, he basically dropped me a message before. He said, what's the best way of kind of, you know, helping these guys out? And I said, well, ideally, it's got to be features now, because press releases don't really cut it, and I guess that's where I'm going to, is that your magazine now, it's got a lot more features in it as well, hasn't it? You know, it does kind of, you know, with what's in your garage and all these different things, which I suppose we're all a little bit nosy.
Well, look, that's the whole point of it. Look, I mean, you've always got to wear two hats. You wear the hat. I put the competitor hat on. I still compete myself. I put the competitor hat on and I want to see and read about myself, the rest of the guys in my class, my peers and all the rest. But you also got to put the spectator's hat on. What do they want to see? They're maybe not interested in who won class two on a national event, but they want to read about maybe the world stars, the local guys doing well in the world scene, you know, in the European scene, you know, Elfin Evans and the British guys, you know, doing well at the top. So we've got to cater for both of those markets, you know, and that's a difficult job, Tony. It's not easy, but you have to keep evolving and evolving and evolving all the time and try and develop new things all the time. And that's really what it's about. I mean, features, we find ourselves, I mean, we've done features there on motor clubs, again, trying to get them. I mean, we've been running Club of the Month for about 3 years now. And we also do, I think you've been as well, you've been featured in as well, the wee Club and Corners, where, you know, we try and feature about five club men every single month and try and give them a wee boost. Doesn't cost them anything, but it just tries to give them a wee boost, a wee bit of morale boost as well, but give their sponsors a wee bit back as well. And that is so, so important, you know. But we find as well, it's quite difficult to get the information from the competitors, you know. And we all hark back and look back, I suppose, through rose-tinted glasses at the rally sport days, where when you actually look, I mean, I look back at copies and all, because we used to do a crew-by-crew report. You couldn't do a crew-by-crew report now on any event, because the competitors are just so lazy.
I think we are all guilty of it. Well, before I let you go on any further, we're probably in a unique position on any rally podcast at any given moment at anywhere in the world, that all three people that are part of this conversation have all had something in your magazine at some point. Of course, Zav McCartan, who did a bit of work for you once, has sat on the side. He's been priming me with lots of different bits and pieces to ask you, but I'm not going to ask them, because I want Zav to ask them as well. So, Zav, you've been very quiet there. This is the quietest I think you've been on any of our podcasts so far.
I can always keep him quiet.
I would think there's Chris Boyd in New Zealand was wondering if there was a podcast this week. I'd say he's very glad to know that we are. But as Simon says, I mean, I've been involved with parts of the magazine with, you know, working with Simon, and sometimes it's unbelievably difficult to get that kind of information out from not only motor clubs, from competitors as well. I mean, it's so important, the clubman side of things. You know, you have Motorsport News and Jack that cater for the weekly news, but there's room for, you know, Pace Notes as well. It's the only English language, you know, rally magazine in the world, and now available. You know, you can get it on iPad and on your phone, but I know where you're leading with this, Tony, and I'm not going to ask him, because I thought, you know, as you're the governor and the boss, as Ryan and Jack point out to me regularly, it really is your place to ask him about the Manx National many years ago.
I see.
Because
we were talking about, we've been very excitable about the Manx, and we always try to let our listeners know, especially our overseas listeners, about what some of these events are like, and you know, Ryan and I have done them. Obviously, Zav's been over and watched them. Jack's been over and watched them and stuff like that. But out of all our guests so far, in all the years I've done this, even when we were called Total Rally, nobody I've ever had on as a guest has managed to throw up on the rally.
Well, I have done. I thought this was forgotten about a long time ago. McCartan, you're in trouble when I see you next, you know. But I'll tell you the story. I've done the Manx 4 times, all right, and I've never finished it yet. We crashed out on the first 3 occasions, and the last time I did it was with Emma McKinstry on the Ancro, the time it was part of the Ancro, and it was a Friday night stages, and I think we had a, if you knew the McKinstrys at all, I think there was a pizza or something late, I think we were shoveling a pizza into me, you know, minutes before going out on the first stage, which is not advisable, but I thought the short stages will get away with it, and first stage felt okay, and second stage, I think there's 4 stages that night. And the second stage, I felt a bit grey and a bit queasy. And the third stage, says Emma, I feel dreadful. We're going to have to, you know, just feel dreadful. Get the windows open, let a bit of air in. And I think it was the last stage that evening. We were halfway through the stage. And I said, Emma, you're going to have to stop. And she says, no, we can't. And I says, you're going to have to stop. And I go through up. And she says, no, we can't stop. So she continued to drive on. And I set the notes to the side. And I let go, you know. So I covered the dashboard, covered everywhere. And I do believe Emma has it on an in-car video somewhere, do you know what I mean? So, to my shame. But let's just say the service, I wasn't best pleased, but the service crew weren't pleased either when I arrived back in service, so the smell inside the car. So,
I genuinely hope anybody that listens to our podcast, and obviously people listen to it all times today, nobody's having a lunch at the moment. I think that would be one image that you probably didn't quite want on that. You just think about a nice rally car moving, that swaying motion and everything else. I'm feeling queasy just thinking about
terrible.
It.
Terrible.
Yeah.
The whole idea there was Tony was supposed to lead into you, Simon, there, and, you know, point out that you've just bought an Evo 2 and you did your first event recently, but the whole idea was, well, you've moved from co-driving to driving, so you wouldn't have issues like the Manx. But you've just recently been in Roscommon with the Evo.
I did. My long-time editor, Jonathan McDonald, I suppose I'm indebted to, Johnny's been with me since issue 1, and I appointed him as the full-time editor there back at the start of the year, and he has an Evo 2 and tarmac car. And although I love tarmac rally, and I do really, really, I mean, gravel's where my heart is, you know, but we don't have, obviously, in Ireland here, we're more tarmac-orientated. So gravel car come up. Dave Kroger, I think it was, done the Grisdale rally. It was his car. It came up for sale there earlier in the year, and Jonathan and I went over and purchased it. So we Evo 2, lovely wee thing. And funny enough, I was talking to Ran. I met Ran in the Ulster rally, and I was telling him about it, and he told me, you'll not believe it, Simon. He says, but I have a spare shell and a garage full of spares for those cars. So at least I know where I can go to. You know, I can always rely on Absolute, you know, rally team to go get me some spares if I need it, you know.
But we'll sort you out. We'll get you sorted.
Hope so. But
a
sponsorship, please, that'd be great, you know.
Hey, listen, I think Ryan and I are at the front of that queue, believe you me. I think Ryan and I are at the front of that queue. We're still yeah. Dreaming. We're still living the dream.
That's it. So I went and done a wee rally. I didn't want to go do anything major, and I went and done a wee rally, a wee gravel, sort of a wee rally on a quarry. And I finished 5th overall, and first rally car home. The only thing that beat me was the wee specialised buggies and things like that, the wee Rage type buggies, you know. So I was well chuffed. I thought there was only 22 entries, and I thought if I'd have finished 19th or 20th or 21st, or, you know, I'd have been really pleased. But to finish 5th overall, I was absolutely delighted, you know. So give me the real bug, I have to say. Different from, I've driven rally cars, Tony, you know, obviously, when I've been editing the magazine all these years, I've been invited to test days and all that, and so driving lots of rally cars, don't get me wrong, but to sit in competition in the car, as you know, is just fantastic. Like, so I think the bug has really bit me from the driver's side, yeah.
Wow, wow. So, coming away from the driving bit, the reason why we've got you, obviously, is Pace Notes. What's coming up for Pace Notes? What's going on in the magazine at the moment, and what's coming up? What's the next evolution, do you think?
Well, I think short term, we are sort of this time of the year now, we're coming into our big end of year yearbook. But the next edition's kind of a special one for us as well. It's our 150th edition, believe it or not. So this is our 14th season, and the next edition that's on sale in a couple of weeks' time is our 150th edition. So that's something to celebrate. So we're having a wee look back at some stories and stuff that we've done before, you know. And we have an exciting big edition coming in early in the new year as well. And we're possibly thinking about tweaking the logo as well, so maybe refreshing the design. Like I was saying to you before, you have to tweak the editorial, but you've also got to tweak the look of it as well. And, you know, it's a good evolution all the time, isn't it? You know, so that's, you know, that's just part and parcel of it. So,
I was going to say, personally, I think it's gone downhill since I last wrote my column. that's all I'll say. I said it to Zara. So I think it's gone into a downward spiral. And I'm joking, obviously. But it is. I'll be honest with you, right? And this is what. We have the guys on from, as I say, from across from down under. It's fair to say, Peter Whittingham. Yeah. And I say this, and you know, there's obviously a digital copy, and you can get actual copies of theirs if you request them. Yes. I still think there's something nice and tangible about actually having, if you pardon the expression, something in your hand, as opposed to something on a screen. Your own jokes in your own head there. Leave it.
Tony, we heard that years ago. I heard that from everybody 7-8 years ago. Look, publishing's dead, publishing's dead, publishing's dead. It's not. I mean, look, if you ask my wife, I have tons and tons. I'm into the minis and I'm into the classic Lancias as well. And I have magazines, stacks everywhere around the house, around the office. I think, you know, and I think it's just the way people, I suppose as a younger generation, like stuff online, but, you know, to log in, to read something, to scroll in, zoom back out. I know in my house, I have three young kids. Dad, can you do this, Dad? And you have to set it down, log out, and you're logging back in again. There's nothing nicer. A cup of tea, sitting, you know what I mean? You can watch a bit of news over one eye and, you know, have a read at the other. It's just something nice about it. I mean, our sales are growing. And actually, across the board, Tony, the industry, I mean, tablet sales are in free fall. I mean, Apple will tell you that themselves, do you know what I mean? And it's reached saturation point, I think, do you know what I mean? And most niche publishers, I think if you're a general publisher, you'd be in danger. If you're trying to do a wee bit of this and a wee bit of that and a wee bit of something else, you'd be in trouble. But I mean, like, we have, what, nearly 80 pages a month, and we're having to leave stuff out every month, do you know what I mean? And there definitely is an appetite for it. And, you know, onwards and upwards. I mean, this is our 14th season, and I can see another 14 ahead of us, do you know what I mean? And hopefully people, I think it's just, I mean, it's a generational thing, Tony. I mean, you're probably, you know, sort of similar age to me. We would never have, probably, you know, when you were younger, you'd never have thought of picking up a newspaper, you know what I mean, or a weekly newspaper, or a weekend newspaper. But as you get a wee bit older, and, you know, you do pick things up and you like to read them and have a wee bit of time out for yourself, isn't it? No, have a read, you know, that's what's all about.
I think we've all got a Lou library, as I call it. A Lou library.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Sorry, Zav, go on, you were about to say something then, my mate.
No, I'd agree, and I'd agree with Simon there. There's something satisfying about pulling back and sitting reading a magazine. I mean, if in terms of, you know, working in PR or the something you want to refer back to, you know, you can reach behind you. If you're working out of your office from home, you can pull out issue number 54 or week number 37, go to the page, get the information. Whereas if you're on an iPad to try and find that, can take, you know, take forever. And like Simon says, it's not just, you know, I'm looking here at home. I've got Pace Notes. I have rally programs. I've got motorsport news. You know, there's all the rally books, all the rally courses. They're all something that you have to hand. There's a touchy-feely side to it, you know. And Pace Notes, as he says, has been going for so long. And I think that, you know, with the magazine Down Under and our weekly motorsport news, Jack there, I think there's a market there for everything. And the end beneficiary of all this is the rally fan. Because
it's sport, yeah.
And I mean, you know, you have a weekly publication, a monthly publication. The thing that benefits from this competitors and the fans of the sport, and that's super.
Absolutely, absolutely. This, well, the point, go on, Simon, sorry.
In publishing, Tony, in publishing as well, we look at them as well. They're historic. Each edition is an historical document, really. It's at that point in time, and it's recording a lot of that, and it's recording a lot of results, and recording how people, you know. So in 20 or 30, Tom's right, in 20 or 30 or 40 years' time, you know, who knows what the future's going to bring, like, but, you know, at least in points in time, there was, you know what I mean? I can still look back at, you know, rally sports when I was competing back in the late 90s in the BRC, and, you know, it's nice still to see your name in print as well, do you know what I mean? And people, I do really, really believe people love that, you know, but it's all made possible by the team that we have, but more importantly, Tony, the advertisers, because without them, we have a really, really strong nucleus advertising base there. Loyal advertisers with us and that get real results from us. But without them, Tony, to be honest with you, you know, any business relies on that, do you know what I mean? And we're it's a passion for me, don't get me wrong, but it's still a commercial.
No, we're exactly the same here. We, you know, without Team Coordinate, we wouldn't be here. You know, we're always trying to reach out and get new people involved and stuff like that. And it's something we continually, you've been there, and that's something we continually kind of work towards. And, you know, it is a labour of love for me at times as well. But, excuse me, without them, we couldn't have the production qualities that we've got. You know, you would have me the way it used to be live. That was dodgy. No one wants that again. No one wants that again. Anyway, Simon, listen,
certainly not with my carton on. Yeah,
I know. Life's hard enough, my friend. Life's hard enough. What date does the magazine come out these days?
Well, about the it varies each month. Sometimes, you know, the answer's in simple terms about the 20th
of the month.
We need to
find a way of getting you on a bit more regular and let us know what features are in the magazine, even if it's on for a couple of minutes every month or something like that. We need to work towards doing that. So we'll get something sorted for that, Simon. It's been great to have you on site. And let's say we've been planning to do something with you for a while. And may this be the start of a wonderful friendship.
Good. Well, I hope so. Long may continue. That's what
absolutely.
I hope to remain. But listen, thanks for having me on, and you know, it's great, and it's nice to share it with your listeners as well. And you know, hopefully you go from strength to strength as well. And you know, that's what it's all about. We're all here. We're all passionate. We're all, you know, we all love the sport, and it's through our blood. And we're all trying our best as well to do the very best that we can as well. You know?
Very much so. Simon Mooney, thanks for joining us on Absolute Rally. Folks, we're going to go to a little break, and then we're going to come back with our final section. Do you know what? What we're going to do? Simon, did you do your homework?
Yep.
Did you do your homework for this episode? Did you do your any of...
Yes, he did.
I have lots of things to talk about, as you know.
Well, we want a nice, succinct any other business that perhaps is not immediately apparent in the news.
Okay. No problem.
Go on.
No problem. Do you want me to
go now? That? Why not? Let's do it. I can do this.
I suppose any other business, my goodness, I could talk about 150 things, but I suppose... it's not really my thoughts, it's really just posing questions, really. I mean, I would love, and now Tony, this isn't just me spouting off here, do you know what I mean? But it's we talk to competitors day and daily in our business, that's what we do, that's, you know, from each stage ends to, do you know what I mean, to after the event, phoning people, just, you know, hundreds of competitors every month, but I suppose the big thing that people are saying to us are, you know, it's the same question coming up on and on and on. What are the MSA doing for us? Do you know what I mean? And I would have great reservations, you know, and suppose we need to ask the question, you know, is the MSA doing enough for British stroke Northern Irish rallying, do you know what I mean, across the country? Because I don't know anybody that's a competitor that holds a licence isn't complaining about them, you know, and... I suppose it's numerous things, Tony. It's their handling of different things and different issues. And funny enough, actually, there's just a wee campaign started, a petition campaign that started by our Northern Ireland Championship, the regional championship coordinator, Rodney White, to try and get the 5-year seat rule overturned. We're going to fully support it and fully back it and try and get as many signatures there as possible, because
these committees and these groups make decisions, and I don't know, Tony, whether they think it through. I mean, when you look at all the rules and regulations and everything that goes on, genuinely, I think the MSA don't want rallying. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of what your, I don't know what your thoughts are, but that's kind of what I think. But the rules that they make, I understand you've got to make rules and committees have to make decisions, but surely they should be accountable for a lot of these rules and decisions. And nothing ever seems to be under review, if that sort of makes sense. You know, that if you have to make decisions, great. I'm in business, I make decisions every day. Sometimes they're not right, and I review them in 6 months' time or 8 months' time, and if they're wrong, correct them and change them, you know. There's a wee bit of that that sort of doesn't happen. So I suppose that's my thought, you know, from most competitors in and around Britain, is are the MSA doing enough for us, do you know what I mean? I mean, when we look at what the French Federation does, the Belgian Federation, do you know what I mean? The Dutch Federation, what they do for their sport, and put their money where their mouth is on a lot of occasions, and back drivers properly, and the programmes that they run here, they're all well and good, do you know what I mean? I'm not knocking them at all, they're all great, they all have their place. But really, you know, and I'm not saying should they be funding, you know, one particular driver, or maybe that's not the right way of doing it, but certainly I think that the money that they have, I just get the impression that the MSA probably just aren't there to, I suppose, run Formula One Grand Prix and the one round of World Rally Championship.
I guess we'll let our listeners decide, and you know how to find us, folks. It's at @Absolute_Rally, of course, on Twitter, and you can find us on facebook.com/AbsoluteRally. Let us know your thoughts on what Simon's just been raising there. Yeah. And we'll feed them back in, and we'll have a bit of a recap, Si, next time we have you on. Zav, have you got a nice succinct to any other business before we crack on, because we are running out of time?
I suppose today.
Oh, go on, Zav.
I just like to say another thing. I suppose today is news, do you know what I mean? Obviously, about the boys getting their seat and all the rest. But I suppose the other thing this week, Tony, that we've really got to be mindful about is that we're in business and we're all excited about rallying and this, that and the other. But I think we should all pause, and every listener, I suppose, should pause and think about what's happening out in the Caribbean. Do you know what I mean? Life's fragile and everything else. I don't want to sound downhearted or anything, Tony, but life's fragile, and you know what we're going through up here and people's difficulties is nothing compared to what those guys are suffering with Hurricane Matthew. Do you know what I mean?
So, absolutely.
That's my only thoughts.
Okay, like, Sam. Well, no, thank you very much for that. Zav, have you got something that you'd like to add to that before we wrap up?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, there's a lot of people would have, if you look on social media, would concur with what Simon has said. I would agree with our friends who rally in the Caribbean, Greg Cozier and them guys who, you know, our thoughts are with them. On a personal basis, you know, the best kept rallying secret that everybody knows about is taking place next weekend, Mull Rally. Very lucky to be doing radio. It's not a plug for the radio, but for anybody that hasn't been, it is an unbelievable place with unbelievably friendly people, demanding stages, and it's just on a personal basis something I'm looking forward to go back to cover again. You know, it's an amazing
fantastic
rally.
Well, listen, when you come back, obviously this is our final episode for this particular series, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks, obviously, but by the time you get back and you'll be thawed out and everything else, you can tell us all about Mull. But folks, thank you so much for joining us in this section. We're going to go to a little break, and we're going to come back to the final section. We're going to have Brymore Pearce, who's going to be telling us all about the Rally Forum, which is going to be taking part in Chester, leading up to Wales Rally GB.
This is Absolute Rally. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 441904-766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to the final section of Absolute Rally. Hope you enjoyed the top with Jack, myself, obviously, and also the legend that is Ryan Champion. Oh, he is for this week anyway. I can say that because he's my mate. But yeah, as I say, and then we obviously had Simon Mooney from Pace Notes along with Zav. It's been a busy, busy show. We're trying to shoehorn in as many different bits and pieces as we can, because of course it is the final episode before we have our 2-week jollies. Anyway, it seemed like a really, really good time to get Bryn on. Bryn Pearce, of course, who not only is a co-driver, he's all things to all men, it feels like, but certainly is one of the driving forces, certainly behind the Rally Forum, which you may have attended, may not have attended, but obviously it's for Wales Rally GB, or certainly around that week leading up to it. And yeah, thought it'd be good to get you on. So welcome for the first time, hopefully not the last time, Bryn, to Absolute Rally.
Thanks for having us on, Tony.
No worries at all. Now, it's gathering a fair bit of pace. Obviously, there's a charity element to it as well. I believe even our Iron Champions donated something to it. You've got some guests and stuff. Just tell our listeners what's going on, where it is, and what's happening.
Yeah, so Rally Forum was born out of an idea that we came up with in Broughton and Breton Motor Club 4 years ago now. And the thinking was going back to the days of the mid-90s, Ford used to run their own forums, get people involved, and get a real buzz going around Rally GB time. So we thought we'd take it upon ourselves with that charity element that you just mentioned, and bring it back. And we brought it back in 2013 with the first one. Small Acorns, I think they had about 100 people in the room for that first one. Mikko Hirvonen and there, Mads Osberg, people like that. And it's grown steadily over the last 3 years. We've had Ari Vatanen, Petter Solberg, Chris Meek, you know, you name it, they've been there. And we sort of surpassed ourselves last year and managed to have Sebastian Ogier there as well. So it really brought the house down. This year, changing venue to somewhere iconic. So it's on the 26th of October. We've moved to a new venue, Chester Racecourse, which many people will remember as the location where Colin McRae celebrated his World Championship success in 1995 with all the donuts and the bagpiper and all those sort of things. So great, great venue this year, yeah.
As I say, it's something which it does get people close to fans. Obviously, you know, when we have guests on here, you only have to look at social media and the emails and stuff we get. You know, people do want to interact. And I guess that's what it does. It gives people that thing that they can put their hand up and ask a question.
Yeah, well, it's, I believe, I mean, I have to admit, I've not really been to rounds of the World Championship elsewhere in the world. But I believe it's fairly unique in the fact that we bring current stars of the WRC right into the room with the fans. And they do get that opportunity to interact with them, excuse me, and of course the stars from the past as well. And it's a very light-hearted night. It's compared by Howard Davis, and Howard has a unique style.
Absolutely.
I think if anyone's familiar with him, they'll know what I mean by that. And Colin Clark as well, who used to be one of your co-hosts. Colin brings that WRC element. So it is a real unique opportunity to get up close and personal, and we tend to limit the numbers in the room. Last year, I think we were at 350, which was it's a figure where you still feel intimate, but it's not, you know, it doesn't get impersonal, that sort of level, yeah.
It's important, as I say, I think, you know, in the current climate of I suppose what we're up against now, because on one hand we do have social media, which does allow people to interact directly with, you know, drivers, direct with, you know, with fans and things like that. But again, just being in the same space and breathing the same air and everything else, and again, the fact that you limit the numbers, I think makes it feel unique, and it makes it feel almost elitist, I suppose, but in the best possible way.
Yeah, it does. And it's, I mean, just going back to Sebastian Ogier last year, I mean, a lot of people have an opinion on Sebastian, rightly or wrongly. I mean, I'd never met the chap before either. And he came into that room last year and he won 350 new fans. I mean, there was a side to him there that you'd never ever see on TV. You'd never hear in a soundbite on a radio interview. A really humorous and light-hearted side, and it's that sort of thing that we've got this unique opportunity to give people, whilst, you know, giving them a good laugh over 3.5-4 hours or whatever it lasts for, and raising some money for some great causes as well, which tend to be air ambulance centred in one shape or form. It's children's air ambulance this year. And indeed, something close to Ryan's heart as well, with Down syndrome charity this year as well. So yeah, it's a good night.
Oh, good on you. So you've been, you've just mentioned Chester there. Of course, the hairs on the back of all our necks, you know, if we're in danger of becoming very UK-centric when we do this stuff. But obviously, you mentioned the iconic images, of course, Colin in Chester Racecourse and things like that. And of course, the big clock in Chester and everything else. And you've been involved quite a lot as well. We're taking the event back to there as well this year.
Yeah, I mean that's the business side of things. I mean, I was approached, just over 12 months ago now, by some of the business groups within Chester, specifically Chester Growth Partnership, to see what the opportunity was for getting elements of the event back. So we had many, many discussions over probably 6 to 8 months with IMS, with Ben Taylor. Great discussions, very open discussions, and I must be fair to the Welsh Assembly as well for really seeing the benefits there. So we got the green light probably, middle of May, not long before it was announced to the public. And I have to admit, when that was announced on, I think it was the 8th of June, it took me a little bit by surprise. I mean, I knew it would be a popular thing to have back in the city centre, but the amount of people that came on board with it and the articles I've seen, I mean, some of the stuff that David Evans of Autosport has written, just absolutely brilliant, and it does make the hair stand up on the back of your neck when you look back. But I'm of a mind to be looking forward now and what we can do in the modern world with the modern cars and the modern stars, yeah.
Well, that's the pressure, isn't it? You know, while it's always nice to glimpse back, we have got to look forward. And what can we be looking forward to in Chester? What's going to be happening?
Yeah, well, I mean, if I just give you a brief overview of the people we've got at the forum and then take you on to actually Chester. So the forum itself, we have a current BRC segment, so we've got people like Frederick Olin, Brees Yates, Rob Duggan, David Bogey, Tom Cave. We've got WRC stars currently confirmed. M Sport are bringing people along. Hyundai. We've also got Jarmo Leighton doing his first sort of public appearance with his Toyota hat on, talking about the new Yaris World Rally car, which should be an interesting segment. And then legends, we've got Russell Brooks, Mike Broad, Louise Aitken Walker confirmed yesterday. So that's your Wednesday. The Friday is going to be, we're trying to bring. To be topical with a BRC slump, we're trying to bring what you get if you go to Ypres or somewhere like that town centre party atmosphere. So Friday in Chester, 2 o'clock, everything will start off. There'll be some displays of iconic cars. We'll have the national cruise in there from about 3:30. The podium will be up in the middle of the city centre, just outside the Liverpool shop, actually, if anyone knows the city centre fairly well. It'd be a topical one for you there, because I know you're not a Liverpool fan, are you, Tony?
No, I'm not. I'll be honest with you. I just thought I'm not going now.
Absolutely. And then once the national crews are through, we've got Chester FC doing some football displays. So we're trying to take it to all people. And then we've also got some local drama groups doing some street displays and that sort of thing. So it's not completely motorsport rallying centric. It's trying to be all encompassing and giving something for everyone. And then when the WRC crews arrive, which will be approximately 7 p.m., we've got the town crier announcing them onto the podium, and then it'll be the whole razzmatazz that goes with that. Big screens up, PA systems, you name it, it's there. And we're really trying to promote that sort of party atmosphere and get people involved and get people, as I say, remembering those good old days, but trying to do something modern and give it a modern twist.
Fantastic. So, and I'm guessing that the beauty of this is that it's free. You know, people can wander into Chester and kind of take it in and kind of get a feel for all this before, you know, they stretch off into either over to the service park or into some of the stages and stuff like that. They can just dip in and dip in and out almost.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, everything on the Friday is completely free to the public to attend. You literally just have to wander up to the barriers and get close to the action. And something else that we're doing, which is fairly unique this year, is we're having 4 autograph stations. So when those top drivers come through, they'll be getting out their cars for 15 minutes, talking to the crowds, doing autographs, which again is something that it hasn't been done in a city centre, certainly in the UK, for many, many years on a World Championship event. Yeah, it'll be good.
Well, I know certainly, not that anybody ever would have wanted mine anyway, but when we've done GB over the last 3 years, obviously there's been those areas that we've been sent to, but you know, a lot of the time we've been kind of locked up and kind of locked away waiting to go over the start ramp and things like that. And no, it's good. It's you know, I think it's important. I just hope the weather stays stays fine for you. I really do. It's one of those things. If the weather's fine, it'll be great. It'll be great, and I'm sure you've got everything crossed and then some.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if it's a nice sort of crisp late autumn evening, it'll be superb, because there's a great atmosphere in the city centre. And for those who don't know Chester, we have what we call the Rose, the Victorian covered walkways, and it gives that natural grandstand sort of amphitheatre effect. See, as long as it's a dry, crisp night, we'll get a great effect. The sound of the cars reverberating through the streets, the lights, it'll be superb. And some news, which I know David Evans and Jack Bennion and people are keen on, the cars will be coming into the city centre with mud on them. They're not getting washed beforehand. So, there may be that smell of hot mud on the exhaust if you're lucky as well, yeah.
Oh, happy days. Well, listen, keep us in the loop on stuff. And as I say, we'll give it a plug, obviously, leading up. We're having our 2 weeks off now. But, we'll definitely give another plug leading up to it. But anyway, I know you do listen to the podcast, and we do appreciate your download. Thank you very much. You've now probably picked up on the fact we get to this point of the programme, and we always say to our guests, do you have any other business? Have you got anything else you'd like to get off your chest about rallying? So, Bryn, I'm giving you that opportunity now. Have you got any other business?
Yeah, well, you mentioned this to me, so I had a cup of tea and then I had a cup of coffee to really fire myself up for it. Yeah, it's a very UK-centric thing, actually. My apologies to the listeners abroad. And it's in relation to making modern rallying relevant to the modern day. And it's something that sort of we touched on BRC this year, and I know you've heard me mention it before, is kids or young people out today watching events, they don't relate to old cars. They see them, they think, oh, that's interesting. My dad, my granddad probably had that car when he was about. But what we really need to do is try and pin those sort of the big events, the BRC type events, into homologated cars. And I think that will have a twofold effect, in that it'll get younger people interested in the sport, and it'll give a more modern image to it. And it'll also make it, which is a sort of a business hat of mine, it'll make it more promotable. Because when you go into people and you're sort of saying to them, oh, we're running X, Y, Z, and they're like, oh, that's brilliant, you know, we can go down the showroom and buy that. And then they suddenly see another old car next to it, and they think, oh, it's a bit strange, you know, what's going on there. And it makes it a very, very difficult product to promote when you've got this sort of mix of cars. So in an ideal world, and it's something for people to think about, maybe ways to do it, and, you know, economics of running events aside, because, you know, fully aware of those, and massive sympathies to organisers, is to make that pinnacle championship a pinnacle championship just for fully homologated modern cars.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
But still, there you go. I could get on my soapbox over that, but I won't. But because it's your any other business, so I'll let you have that one. But I couldn't agree anymore.
Like that comment of mine, yeah.
Yeah, just like the blue touch paper, retire a safe distance, yeah, I think it is. But still, there you go. Bryn, listen, really appreciate your time. And listen, fantastic effort putting this together. And obviously, there's probably people behind you as well and everything else. But
I know we have a great team. We have a cool team of six. And we have a company called Dragon 2000, Mark Cooper, who invests in the forum and gives us a lot of support. So, yeah, there is a core team there, yeah.
Fantastic. Listen, great effort. And folks, we do appreciate the download. This is our last episode of this particular season. We are having 2 weeks off. We'll be doing stuff. It's not like we do anything, you know, leading up to these episodes. Of course we do. We put loads of work in. But we're going to have a couple of weeks off. We've got a few things that we're working on. But we do appreciate the download. Please spread the word. Tell your friends if they are rally fans. We'd like to think there'll always be something during the course of the podcast that people will relate to or like. And you know where we live. It's @Absolute_Rally on Twitter. And you can find us on facebook.com/AbsoluteRally. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Appreciate the download.